Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Pastor Nardacani has done nothing more than maintain his devout faith, which is a universal right for all people. That the Iranian authorities would try to force him to renounce that faith violates the religious values they claim to defend.
To the Muslims in America, I have this to say. How can your conscience allow you to live in peaceful coexistence with a nation that is responsible for the tyranny and crimes committed against your own brothers and sisters?
A production company contacted us and asked if they could do a documentary about our family. And so we prayed about that and we thought, Lord, is this something that you're opening up as an opportunity to share with the world that children are a blessing and a gift from God?
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
To many Christians, it would seem a foreign concept, maybe too restrictive, especially in our postmodern age. We have freedom of thought, don't we? And freedom of belief, and no one and nothing can tell us what it is we are supposed to believe. That's so ingrained in us as Americans. It's hard to remember that as Christians, we submit to the Word of God. And submitting to the Word of God means that the Word of God does tell us what to believe. It does tell us what not to believe. Well, of course, one says, I believe the Bible, and that says nothing. Men who say they believe the Bible often deny what the Bible teaches, very often deny what the Bible teaches. Ask a man, what is your confession of faith? And if he says, it's the Bible, he hasn't really told you anything yet, has he? He hasn't told you how he reads that Bible, what he believes it says, what he believes its message is. Which is why the church has historically had creeds. It's a biblical precedent set by St. Paul himself. Jesus is Lord is a creed. And confessions. Paul talks about making the good confession. Ready to die having made that good confession. And a pattern of sound words. So the church has seen fit in its wisdom, guided by God's word, to say, I believe, and to confess that belief before the world. So this foreign concept of subscribing to a confession, saying, this is my confession and none other, maybe needs a little reintroduction. That's what we're going to do here in this first half hour of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 11th. Dr. Martin Nolan will help us do that, kicking off a conversation with him on C.F.W. Walther, a Lutheran theologian of the 19th century, who believed very firmly in what he called confessional subscription, and a very particular kind of confessional subscription. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest in the second half hour of the program, continuing a series with him on better preaching, a disciplined spiritual life. Today we'll talk about private confession and absolution. After that, a sermon review, a wedding sermon that I actually got to hear firsthand standing there in the chancel on Saturday from my senior pastor, I should say, Pastor Michael Cum. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. I was so struck by this sermon, I determined while listening to it to review it here on Issues, Etc. A wedding sermon, short and sweet, with the gospel. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us after that. We'll talk about lawsuits filed by the Episcopal Church USA against its own former diocese pastors and congregations. And then audio open lines. If you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, there's a question there for you. Of course, all in the news are these statements made by a Pastor Robert Jeffress at this weekend's Values Voter Summit that Mormonism is a cult, and subsequent comments made to the press to that effect. Do you agree or disagree? Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can leave your question or comment there or join us live for audio open lines in the last half hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Martin Nolan is a regular guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Let's reintroduce this concept that I think is unfamiliar to the Christian American mind, that of confessional subscription. What are confessions?
First, the confessions are the writings of doctrine that are used by the Lutheran Church to determine what its teaching, its actual teaching in Bible class and religious education, what its preaching will be, and what its most important practices will be. Other denominations also have confessions, but I think in the Lutheran Church, the use of them, the loyalty to them is stronger than probably any other denomination.
So, for instance, there are Presbyterian or Calvinist bodies that would, in some sense, subscribe to the Westminster Confession, to other articles of faith, apart from the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian. Would they have the same idea of subscription, that is, confessional subscription, that Lutherans ought to, or that the Lutheran confessions themselves call for?
Now, that would be an interesting question, because we're going to talk about today how the Lutherans disagree among themselves about how we're supposed to do that. So I can't speak for that. Your friend Michael Horton might be able to explain exactly how the group he's associated does it. But there, I believe, also differences and disagreements about to what extent are confessions, which are usually 16th or 17th century products, how and to what extent are they still relevant and binding on us today? Those are very important questions, and we hope to answer some of that.
Is that really at the heart of what is the difference? Someone walks down the street, and on one corner they'll see the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and on another corner perhaps the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Is that a good way of beginning to understand the difference between those two church bodies, confessional subscription?
That is probably the easiest way for people to see the difference, because once you start getting into issues of interpretation of the Bible, or what we call hermeneutics, that's a very complex subject. Whereas a layman can say, well, does this church teach according to this book and practice according to this book, that is the Book of Concord, or not? So it's a way that laymen can evaluate a particular church or congregation, say, are they faithful to this or not? And so it actually, I think, is very helpful for evaluating the faithfulness of churches when they say, we're Lutheran, or they say, we're Presbyterian.
How did C.F.W. Walther define confessional subscription? How did he think it best practiced?
What he talked about was unconditional subscription. That's not the word he used. Of course, he spoke in German. But the intent of that was first to say that we accept all the confessions of the Lutheran Church that are found in the Book of Concord. This was not always the case with all Lutherans. Eventually, back in the 16th and 17th century, all the Lutheran states did accept the entire Book of Concord. But as the Pietist movement and later the Rationalist movement came through Europe and then into America, there was a great loosening up of attachment and loyalty to the confessions. And probably the most blatant example was just about the time that Walther was beginning leadership of the Missouri Synod, what was known as the General Synod on the East Coast, came up with a different confession of the church called the Definite Synodical Platform, in which it accepted only the Augsburg Confession and rejected a number of doctrines that were in there, which would be doctrines that would be offensive to other Protestants. So the first issue is, do you accept all of the articles, all of the writings in the Book of Concord? And Walther would say yes. And then the second question is, do you accept all the doctrines that are taught in the Book of Concord? And that was the question that really, there was a great deal of debate in the second half of the 19th century among the various Lutheran bodies, is to what extent, even if you accept all the writings, to what extent do you accept all the doctrines? The Missouri Synod position was, we accept all the doctrines that are proclaimed and professed, and even if they're just brought in incidentally, if there's a doctrine there that's stated, we accept that. And the other Lutheran church bodies would say, well, we can evaluate that. And they would make distinctions between incidental and actual confessed doctrines in the Book of Concord.
Did Walther think that this unconditional subscription to the Lutheran confessions was called for by the confessions themselves?
Yes, he did, and he had strong historical evidence for that. First, we can go back to the even before the Book of Concord. In 1532, Luther, Bugenhagen, and Jonas in the University of Wittenberg, which was responsible for training and also for certifying candidates for the pastorate, they developed an ordination pledge based on the three creeds and the 1530 Augsburg Confession. So from 1532, Lutherans were required to make an ordination pledge. This went a little farther in 1539. Duke Henry required unconditional subscription, and that term was used at the Leipzig University for all theologians that taught there, both the Augsburg Confession and the Apology. And then in 1559, which gets us closer to the formula of Concord, Andreas Osiander attacked the Wittenberg faculty and its ordination vow. And Philip Melanchthon defended the vow and said the purpose was first to admonish talented men to observe in humility proper bounds in their teaching, and second, that restless spirits would be checked as much as possible. So this was Melanchthon, who, you know, in Missouri Synod circles, we often think, oh, he's kind of loosey-goosey. But actually he said, no, we've got to stick by this ordination vow, and there are very good practical reasons. And then in 1580, when the Book of Concord was adopted by the princes, it was also subscribed by all the pastors that were in Lutheran territories. And so then the idea of subscribing, that is, writing your name under this and saying, I affirm it, 1580 became universal among Lutheran lands.
Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest. We're talking about C.F.W. Walther on confessional subscription. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest. We're talking about C.F.W. Walther on confessional subscription. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of October. In about 10 minutes, Pastor David Peterson will join us for part two of a five-part weekly series with him on Better Preaching, A Disciplined Spiritual Life Today, Private Confession, and Absolution. Marty, again, by way of kind of reintroducing this concept to people, when Walther called for an unconditional subscription, many people might say that is just simply too restrictive. How could anyone give that kind of unconditional subscription? Shouldn't that be reserved for God's Word, for Scripture alone? How would he respond?
Well, one of the responses that he and other Lutherans before him would make on this is that since the very beginning, the Church has had what were called rules of faith. We call it the creeds. But if you look, for example, at Irenaeus, a father in the 2nd century A.D., Irenaeus talks about the problems that the Church faced with heresies, and that in order to combat this, the people were taught what we know today as the Apostles' Creed. And the problem is that the Bible is written in a historical way. You know, it starts with the book of Genesis, which is the oldest book as far as we know, and it ends up with the book of Revelation, which is the youngest book. And it's not written really as a textbook. It's a series of prophets and apostles who have who gave the Word of God in their day and age. And it's not coordinated in the sense of topically. And so it provides opportunity for people that want to teach the wrong things to get this all mixed up, I mean, because the Bible covers over a 2,000-year period of history. And so for that reason, the Church found when it dealt not with Jews but with pagans that it was easy for teachers to get off track. And that's why the Apostles' Creed was adopted and then became pretty much mandatory. And then when Constantine took over the rule or the supervision of the Church, he demanded that the pastors come up with a creed, which became our Nicene Creed. So it's not that the Book of Concord introduces new ideas or new theology. What it does is it restates the theology of Scripture in a summary way so that we can remember it. Otherwise, you would have to remember the entire Bible by memory, and I know a few people can do that, but very few. And so to be able to draw for your own personal faith or in discussion with other people about your faith, to have a summary in which the most important or the controverted articles are discussed, this is what creeds and confessions have done since the very beginning of the Christian Church.
Why, for Walther, was unconditional subscription so important? Not just important. He considered it necessary.
The reason for that is that the Lutherans, since the time of Pietism, had found ways to steer away from doctrines that they did not like. The reasons for this are clear in the early history of Pietism. When Pietism was first adopted, it came at the instigation of the Prussian prince, a Prussian king. The Prussian kings were trying to do everything they can to lessen the authority and influence of the Lutheran Church. And when Spener came along, he became the leading pastor in Berlin under the influence and direction of the Prussian king. And they would say, well, Spener, you're a Lutheran. He'd say, yeah, I'm a Lutheran. But then Spener and his disciples began to say, well, we don't need the confessions. We have the Bible. That's all we need. And then they began, bit by bit, to tear at various items or articles of the faith. And within one or two generations, the whole thing fell apart. And by the time of what's known as rationalism, the teachers in the universities completely rejected the confessions. So Walther knew about this history, as did his colleagues, and they said, if we're going to reconstruct the Lutheran Church here in America, we need to make this binding, and we need to make it so that they can't pick it apart like they did in Germany.
There was a convenient little distinction made in Latin that is still taught to seminary students who are seeking the office of the ministry in confessional Lutheran church bodies. between a quia subscription and a quatinus subscription? What's the difference between those two?
The quia, that term refers to the position of the Missouri Synod and the original Lutheran position, which is that we teach the confessions because they are in agreement with Scripture. We don't make a distinction between the doctrines. That we say everything that's in the confessions are in the Scriptures already. The quatinus, which is a Latin term which means insofar as, allows a person to say, I don't think I agree with this particular doctrine in the confessions, because they set up their interpretation of a scripture passage, a single scripture passage usually, over against the confession, and thereby they vitiate one of those articles or doctrines that are in the confessions. So we reject the quatinus view, which really is a way of just ignoring the authority of the confessions, and we subscribe to the quia view.
Walther was deeply concerned that with confessional subscription, as went confessional subscription, so went the unity of the church. Explain that concern, if you would.
The whole idea of subscription is to keep the pastors and professors and teachers together. It's not really, it may be viewed by a person as being, well, you're restricting my liberty. But when you look at the society, which is the church as a society, the restriction is there for a purpose, because if you allow each person to start teaching their own thing, pretty much they become their own church. So in order to have a unified church, and this would be according to the Lutheran doctrine in Augsburg Confession 7, which is that the Word of God be purely preached according to a proper understanding of it. In order to have that unity in the church, you need to have the same message on various topics of Scripture being taught from the pulpit and in the catechism class and in the parochial school and at the seminaries. You all need to be teaching the same thing, otherwise the people will start either getting confused or setting up their own little churches that are separate and thereby create disunity.
The church body that Walther helped found saw fit early on to include in its constituting documents a requirement of confessional subscription. And some might offer, well, really, you can talk about individuals freely deciding to subscribe unconditionally or not, but to impose this upon an entire group of congregations, pastors and congregations, that's really too much. Why include confessional subscription in the constituting documents of that church body?
Well, that, again, is the only way that Walther and his allies felt that Lutheranism could endure in this wild, wild west religious environment that's the United States of America. If you look at the history of denominations, there have probably been more denominations of Christianity created in the United States in the last 200 years than all 2,000 years going back to the time of Christ, probably much more than that. And they recognized that partly by reputation before they came here and then also as they listened to what was going on. And it's like every man is his own church. And so because that temptation is there, the Lutherans that worked together with Walther said, we need something that's going to keep us together, and if people cannot accept this, well, then they just have to go their own way. And if we let people that have an independent mind into our church body, we'll be asking for disaster, because they will form their own political groups and then throw out the people that are trying to keep the true Lutheran doctrine.
A quick question from Chris in Indianapolis. Thanks for waiting on the line, Chris.
Hey, great topic. Got a question. What do you do, you know, I completely agree that you want to have this unconditional subscription to our confessions, but what do you do in light of recent scholarship regarding the ending of the Gospel of Mark that suggests that it's not in the oldest manuscripts, and some of our confessions regarding regarding baptism quote from that tail end of Mark, which is questionable at this point. So how are we to look at our confessions in light of maybe a disputed text like that?
About a minute to respond here to that question from Chris.
Excellent question, Chris. Now, in the essay that Walther wrote about this in 1858, It's titled, Why Should Our Pastors, Teachers, and Professors Subscribe Unconditionally to the Symbolic Writings of Our Church? This writing, by the way, can be found in the book At Home in the House of My Fathers, edited by our president, Matthew Harrison. In that writing, he dealt exactly with this problem. What does it mean to say we unconditionally subscribe to the doctrinal content of the Book of Concord? And these are the areas where he said we are not required to follow the Book of Concord. First, he said, we don't have to follow the German or Latin writing style, you know, because some people thought, well, maybe you have to speak German. That's a little bit of a joke there, but it's in his writing. Secondly, he says, things that are in the sphere of human knowledge that are not matters of revelation. Now, you could debate what that is, but he says that's an area that's non-doctrinal. And third, and this is what you're talking about, is the interpretation of certain Bible passages. So we are not bound to, if a book of, one of the writings in the Book of Concord says, it quotes a Bible passage and it gives a certain interpretation. We're not bound to that particular interpretation of that particular Bible passage as long as we still uphold the doctrine. And the doctrines are, almost in every case, supported by many Bible passages. Another point was the form, method, and process of proof in support of doctrines. Form, method, and process of proof are not required. So you can come up with other arguments that are not found in the Book of Concord. And finally, areas in ceremonies that are in the realm of Christian liberty. For example, Luther's books on baptism and marriage that are found in the Book of Concord, these are also not required, and we are not subscribing to that. So there is freedom when it comes to the matter of exegesis, and of course our exegetical scholars just love that, and that's why I buy new commentaries every year.
With only 30 seconds, was Walther proven right about his concern over confessional subscription? 30 seconds, Marty.
I think he's exactly proven right. And if you look at the book by Charles Aaron, Testing the Boundaries, which looks at all the different synods of Lutheranism in the 19th century, and you see the Missouri Synod and the Synod Conference saying, the Book of Concord is a doctrinal norm, we are still in the position of affirming all the doctrines of traditional Lutheranism, whereas all those other synods have abandoned those. And there may be individuals in the ELCA that affirm the Book of Concord, but the church body as a whole does not. And so Walther's concern definitely has been proved by history.
Dr. Martin Nolan is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor David Peterson, part two of a five-part weekly series with him on better preaching. We'll talk about confession and absolution, private confession and absolution. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for the next half hour of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins on October 24th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts, one for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Every year before the U.S. Supreme Court begins another term, a special church service is held in Washington, D.C. for the justices. The purpose is to ask God to guide them to make good decisions. For over 50 years, justices and top government officials have attended. However, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is noticeably absent. She said, I went 1 year and I will never go again. She's boycotting the service because the sermon contained a plea for the the lives of America's unborn babies, and she didn't like being reminded of her pro-abortion position. She also said she thought Roe was decided out of concern about population growth. Quote, in populations we don't want to have too many of. Of all the justices needing a church service, it's Ginsburg.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.